I mean, I think that when we were trying to get past those common sense reforms last year, Vice President Biden and I had a meeting with a group of technology people and talked about how guns can be made more safe by making them either through fingerprint identification, the gun talks to a bracelet or something that you might wear, how guns can be used only by the person who is. So it's those kinds of things that I think we want to try to explore so that we can make sure that people have the ability to enjoy their Second Amendment rights while at the same time the gun talks to a bracelet or something that you might wear. Decreasing the misuse of weapons, we can make sure that people have the ability to enjoy their bracelet or something that you might wear.
Together.
Radio.
We have audio, no video.
Radio Free Beat.
This is a pirate transmission from District 13 with a message.
Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome to episode 15-08. This is Radio Free Redoubt. Welcome, everyone. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show, and I am John Jacob Schmidt. And my name is your name, too, because we're all together God-fearing, liberty-loving, American heritage-embracing patriots, a threat to those on the left. They have us labeled as domestic terror threats. The most evil thing that this country faces in the way of threats to national security are those who embrace the Constitution and cling to their Bibles and their guns. That's you and me, patriots. So great to have you with us once again. And remember, you can follow us on Facebook.com/Radio Free Redoubt. Welcome all the listeners across the fruited plains, outside the wire, in occupied America, and across the American Redoubt. Great to have you with us. And it was really good to have you guys with us yesterday on KTW 630 AM out of Spokane there regularly, every Saturday from 11 AM to noon Pacific time. And we are on the airwaves and streaming live during that as well. And in case you didn't know, maybe you haven't been to Radio Free Redoubt in the last few weeks, we also upload those audio files to the Podbean player, the same place where these episodes are all uploaded to, which you're probably listening to on right now, because probably 80 to 90% of you actually listening during the week. And that's all right. That is great. But KTW 630 AM covers Eastern Washington around the greater Spokane area and North Idaho. And that has a call in toll-free number. I'd love to hear from more of you guys. You get one or two calls. Don't be nervous. Don't be scared. Hey, we're all friends. We're family, right? Be great to get you guys to weigh in on some of the conversations. But yesterday was real interesting. We're going to talk about this a little bit tonight toward the end of the show. Patriot Anthony Bosworth was arrested this week in Spokane, just standing there drinking a cup of coffee with a rifle at a demonstration, perfectly legal, and they arrested him. So the sheriff actually went and said, let him go. He's done nothing wrong, and they released him to the sheriff, and they really didn't have much to say about it. So a great victory is in store for the Patriots there, and well, we'll talk more about that. Actually, you can listen to that interview if you go to the Podbean player and listen to the uploaded file. You can download it as well, share it with your friends, family, and so on and so forth. Welcome to our listeners from Survival Blog. All you guys out there, quite a few 3%ers tuned in listening. Been hearing from you guys. Thank you for your patriot hearts. And also, lots of you from WDFP listening over there, Restoring America Radio. And man, just a bunch of great people. I'll tell you what, I say this often, what a privilege it is. Some of the amazing relationships and friendships that have developed working with some great people, their hearts are just in the right place. They see what's going on in our country. They're grieved by it, but they're not inactive. They're saying, hey, you know, let's restore America, or at least Americanism, even regionally. And so that's what they're doing. And it's very exciting to be a part of that and be working side by side with so many of you in this fight for freedom and what's left of our heritage. But let's get into news and commentary, because there is a lot to cover tonight. I want to make sure we get to it all, and I don't know if we will, but we're going to make a go of it. Listen to this. What is that sound? It's a new sound. It is Morse code. That is actually a Verizon-issued statement in response and protest to the net neutrality ruling that the Federal Communications Commission, well, they voted this in today, net neutrality. It's not net neutrality. It is government control and paving a way for more taxes. It's about dollar. It's about dollars. And it's about control. Interesting. But this was a statement of protest put out by Verizon saying, this was from, the Chicago Tribune. I'm sure this is going to be a right-wing friendly article. What does a big corporation do when it believes the government is imposing antiquated regulations? It issues a harsh statement in Morse code. And that's what that was. The Federal Communications Commission on Thursday approved tough net neutrality regulations to oversee online traffic. Now remember, okay, this is from the Chicago Tribune. Keep that in mind. The new rules prohibit internet service providers from discriminating against legal content flowing through their wired or wireless networks, such as by charging websites for faster delivery of video and other data to consumers. So we've got class warfare leaking its way into even the internet, which is the last frontier. The globalists, the controlists, they hate frontiers. They have to control and dominate. That's why they're working so hard, like through Agenda 21, to go after rural communities. Because where there are frontiers, there is freedom. And it's interesting. I read a story. I mean, it was a piece done by somebody. I don't know if it was like a thesis or what it was, several years ago. And it was about frontiers equal freedom. And there was a direct correlation between how built up areas are or how sparsely populated they are in relation to the freedoms that you can, that a citizen can enjoy. And in an absolute frontier, there is absolute freedom. And where there is the most progress, there's the most progressive or restrictive laws. Isn't that something? So it's no wonder that the city's full of liberals and control and, you know, suspension of constitutional rights are, you know, in your larger cities. Interesting. The FCC commissioner on the new open internet rules says the internet is not broken. There's no problem for the government to solve. Well, they created a problem. There was discrimination going on, according to the Chicago Tribune and others, against legal content flowing through their wired or wireless networks. Wow. Yeah, more control. In his dissenting statement, Ajit Pai, advanced three main objectives to the commission's open internet order. And he's on this FCC commission. He's a Republican commissioner. He delivered a blistering attack on the new rules. saying, one, the internet has grown rapidly, creating untold economic benefits, largely because the government has refrained from interfering with it. Title number two. Title two regulations attempt to solve problems that don't exist with enough consistency to address with federal government regulation. Well, that's not what the statists think. The state is the solution to everything. If there's not a problem, they'll create one. Oh, there must be discrimination going on because people are not all being charged the same. You know what that's called? Free market. Well, that's something the communists don't understand. Number three, Title II regulations will lead to new taxes and slower broadband speeds for consumers. And he basically laid out the case. Look, you're going to start seeing charges like you do with your phone service, to support 911 and other taxes, hidden taxes. These will be fees, internet fees, which are really going to be taxes. Let's look over here. Israel National News. I heard this about 4 days ago and I kind of sat on it and kind of watching for other corroborating information to come forward. The Bethlehem-based news agency Ma'an has cited a Kuwaiti newspaper report yesterday, that Barack Obama thwarted an Israeli military attack against Iran's nuclear facilities in 2014, last year, by threatening to shoot down Israeli jets before they could reach their targets in Iran. Now, following Obama's threat, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was reportedly forced to abort the planned Iran attack. According to Al Jazeera, the Netanyahu government took the decision to strike Iran sometime in 2014, soon after Israel had discovered the United States and Iran had been involved in secret talks, which we know about now, over Iran's nuclear program. And we're about to sign an agreement in that regard behind Israel's back. If I were Israel, I would not trust this administration either. And, as a general rule, can we go wrong if we use this as a general rule of thumb? Whatever Obama and his administration supports, we should oppose. Even if you don't know the details, because they have a track record. Once you do learn the details, you know that it's communistic, globalistic, it's anti-American, whatever their agenda is. Once we do learn the details, they have 100% track record now. So we can pretty much safely say, whatever they're for, we're against. I mean, that's a pretty safe way to approach it, right? But the Senate, what a slap in Obama's face. The Senate unanimously votes to receive Benjamin Netanyahu for his speech, his address. The Senate on Thursday unanimously passed a resolution welcoming Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to America and endorsing his speech before a joint session of Congress. Wow. And the left are just writhing. They're shrieking. They're tugging at their eye sockets and they're writhing. It's kind of interesting, entertaining to watch. A little bit of good news for Christians facing ISIS jihadists. This is pretty. This is a pretty cool story from Shubat.com. Translated this testimony from one of our apparently a Christian fighter over there, talking about some of the heroism and valor that he's seen over there. ISIS jihadists try to capture a Christian girl, but she has a machine gun. To an Eastern Christian fighter, the village is everything, and death is much more preferred than molestation. The unnamed Christian fighter, he prefers his granddaughters who were captured by ISIS to be killed rather than to be sexually assaulted. This is the bottom line. It is not at least I'm alive mentality that is common in the West. Western conservatives, by Eastern standards, are very liberal. And so, anyway, martyrdom is the highest honor in the Christian East. And that 21, those 21 Christian, Coptic Christians, their last words were, Yah Rabbi Yesu, my Lord Jesus Christ. They were calling out to Jesus as they were about ready to get their heads cut off. Land and virginity in the Middle East is everything. Your village is where your ancestors were born. This community is one of the oldest communities in Christendom. And so they're fighting to the death. And this girl, this, you know, from this headline, she apparently had taken out five fighters before she was killed herself when ISIS attacked their village. You know, there's some evil in this world. I've been exposed to some, I've been kind of privy to some intelligence and news and reports and videos that I cannot even finish watching. The absolutely horrendous evil that is indescribable, that is prevalent in this country, and we are opening ourselves up to this. The more I become aware and have seen evidence of the pure demonic in evil that is in this world and is at our doorsteps, the more I'm convinced this is not just a philosophical thing about, oh, I'll never give up my guns. No, it's more than that. It is essential for the evil that's on our doorsteps right now and what they hope and plan to do to America. I will never, ever give up my right to defend my family or my village. We can't. I can't even tell you how strongly I feel about this. I don't want to post some of this stuff that I'm coming across because it's just basically, you know, death porn. But just take my word for it. Wives, when your husband's trying to tell you what we're facing, don't take it lightly. Take it seriously. It's for your good. And everyone in your family, everyone, men, women, and children, you need to learn how to defend yourself. You need to learn how to become proficient with firearms and every method of defending yourselves. The world's changing. It's changing quickly. And you guys have seen that. You're starting to see some of that. Some of you guys have been watching all along. You've seen this all along. But some of you are just now waking up because you've seen the changes. You're like, the world is not the same today and it doesn't seem to be getting better. And it's not. We want to take a balanced approach to this too. This isn't just about, oh, I'm scared. I'm going to overreact. I'm just reacting now. No, you need to respond prayerfully, but you need to also take action and not just check out. This isn't the time. Tomorrow is going to be a different season. And I don't know. I'm just afraid we can't go back to the way it was. I think Leave It to Beaver is just gone forever. So anyway, with that, with that bit of great news, we're going to turn this over to Fox 519, and he's going to give us some insight as far as what's going on with the economy and what you can do about it. This is John Jacob Schmidt. We'll be back in a minute.
Radio Free Readout.
Your government just told you that the internet is no longer a place of capitalism and First Amendment freedom. And we know that because it was bought by foreign socialist dollars. This is Sunday, March 1st, 2015, and I am Fox 519, bringing you the news that matters to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This is I Am the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Readout.
In the days of Noah, Book 2. Persecution by best-selling author Mark Goodwin. A globalist conspiracy transpires by way of a false flag attack against America's energy infrastructure. Noah and Cassandra Parker witness a complete economic meltdown, which is intentionally triggered by the event. The assault is blamed on patriots and Christians who are rounded up into detention centers across the country. Noah and his friends must take action to prepare for the meltdown, and defend against the totalitarian regime, which is gunning for their freedom and, quite possibly, their very lives. Get your copy of The Days of Noah, Book 2, Persecution for Kindle, paperback, or audio edition at Amazon.com today.
Welcome back, and a special thank you to our sponsor, Mark Goodwin of the Prepper Recon Podcast. Download The Days of Noah, Book 2 today and support Mark. Well, while the rest of the world was concerned with what color the dress is, the Constitution took a major hit, and our First Amendment rights were just wiped out. But more than that, free market capitalism took a major hit due to foreign financial influence. In a report published this week by the Media Research Center, it was reported that between the years of 2000 and 2013, the Ford Foundation, mainly funded by billionaire Nazi George Soros, gave more than $196 million to pro-net neutrality groups. The report states, quote, "These left-wing groups not only impacted the public debate and funded top liberal think tanks from the Center of American Progress to the Free Press, they also have direct ties to the White House and regulatory agencies such as the FCC. At least five individuals from these groups have ascended to key positions at the White House and the FCC. This new set of rules will kill businesses. Early reports regarding the FCC rules state that these new businesses and any new business to the web will be subject to fairness reviews. That is, they will have to have the content or their product reviewed to see if it meets within a certain standard or guideline. Other reports state that all media websites will be again subject to this, quote, fairness review to ensure that their content doesn't contain hate speech or other such language that is considered offensive by certain groups such as the homosexual community or religious groups like Islam. Mark my words, everyone, if this doesn't get killed now, in 6 months, our internet will look very different, as the small businesses who employ people in the readout and sell the products that you and I like will dry up and never be accessible again. In other U.S. news, the city of Chicago is about to go the way of the city of Detroit. Reported by Reuters this week, Chicago drew closer to the financial fiscal freefall on Friday, with a ratings downgrade from Moody Investors Service that could trigger the immediate termination of four interest rate swap agreements. This would cost the city about $58 million and would raise the prospect of more broken swap contracts down the road. The downgrade of the stock was dropped to Baa2, that is just two steps above junk, and Moody's warned that the rating cut could fall further still, and that means that the third biggest city in the U.S. could face even higher costs in the future if banks chose to terminate other interest rate hedges against the fluctuation in interest rates. All told, Chicago holds swap contracts covering $2.6 billion in debt, and that's according to a disclosure from late last year. Chicago's finances are already sagging under unfunded pension liabilities, and Moody has pegged the $32 billion, and that is equal to eight times the city's operating revenue. The city has $300 million in a structural deficit and its $3.53 billion operating budget. It is required this year by Illinois law to boost the police and fire pension by $550 million. Where's that money going to come from? Ladies and gentlemen, our major cities are failing. The tax revenue is falling because the economy is not improving, and people are not going back to work, and they are just dropping off the unemployment reports, never to return, because the work just isn't there. To apply this to our nation, we have nearly $220 trillion in unfunded liabilities between Social Security, SSI, and Medicare. And that has not yet been possibly paid out and probably never be paid out. Even more or less, the government is looking for ways to fund themselves to force government purchases of bonds and 401ks. Just check out the article yesterday in the New York Post. I am confident that the combination of the new Department of the Internet and the failure of our nation's cities will be now the forced bond purchases are all headed in the wrong direction. Well, make sure you're staying focused on the Lord this week and focused on your preps so your family has financial hope for the future. Thanks again for listening, and for Eye on the Economy and Radio Free Readout, this is Fox 519 signing off. God bless.
And we're back with segment two. Segment one, news and commentary, was brought to you by 299 Days, Glenn Tate's books series on the partial collapse and the rebuilding in America. Now, segment two is brought to you by Survival Stores, the prepper's assistant over at the419systems.com, because just having preparedness items is not being prepared. Just because you have stuff. And how many of us have stuff, but we don't even know where half of our stuff is? It's strewn out all over the place. This is a way to organize your preps. your food storage, your rotation, your dates on your rotation on your food, all of your survival and preparedness needs, whether it's fuel, whether it's your routes to your bug out location, all of this is a total package system. Very cool. 419systems.com. Go check it out. That's 419systems.com. And you can also click on the highlights and resources posting for this show, episode 15-08. Scroll toward the bottom. You'll see our sponsors are listed there. You can click and go right to their website. All right, continuing on with the news. Alabama Governor Joe throws Judge Roy Moore under the bus. He succumbs to federal tyranny. This was from the freedomoutpost.com. You guys heard about this, of course, with the homosexual marriage being forced upon the state by one single judge, where they have a constitutional amendment clearly defining marriage as between the way that God, the creator and the ultimate judge, has ruled. This is what a marriage should look like. The God-fearing people in Alabama agreed. In fact, they wanted their laws of the land to reflect the laws of God, and they put it in their constitution. One judge comes along and says, nah, you have to let boys marry boys, and girls can marry girls. And the people in Alabama said, "What? Vomit? What?" And a godly judge steps up and says, Judge Roy Moore, that's not going to fly here. That totally goes against the values of the people of Alabama and God, more importantly. So all of the other magistrates in this state, you will not follow that order. So what does the governor come along and do? No, you guys, we're going to go ahead and do it anyway. Overrules the judge. Now, we've got some serious power plays. When there's a conflict, you have to, you know, what? Who has the higher authority? Well, God is obviously the highest authority. So you appeal to the higher authority. And what does the higher authority say? What does that law say? Well, it's pretty clear. But we've got this governor, Robert Bentley. Bentley, a former deacon. This is what's happening to the church today. This is why it is crumbling. Bentley, Governor Bentley, a former deacon and Sunday school teacher at a Baptist church, told Politico Friday that he believes he must bow down and lick the boots standing before you, the federal court's boots, when they rule, and you cannot uphold Alabama's, and that he cannot uphold Alabama's constitution against the redefinition of marriage to include sodomites. And this governor is quoted, I would never do anything to disobey a federal court ruling, he said. He says, we are a nation under laws, he says. We may not always agree with them, but we obey them. Now, which laws? Which law? So you're saying that a judge ruling against God, overruling God's law, you're going to choose between those two, you're going to follow man's law? You are toast, Governor. You do not even realize the gravity of what you've just, the burden that you've just placed on your own shoulders. I do not want to be you. Now, and probably the same Sunday school teacher and former deacon who's no doubt read about Daniel in the book of Daniel when he was told under penalty of death not to pray to God when he was in Babylon. But he did, didn't he? Well, why? Why would he do that? It's the law of the land. It's the law. It's a decree that he can't pray. But he broke the law, didn't he? What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were ordered, were they not, to bow down and worship a golden image. By law, that was the law of the land. But they didn't, did they? They refused because it was in violation of the higher law. Man, this governor has lost his legitimacy to rule. I've got about 10 quotes, and I left them. I don't have them with me. From our founding fathers all the way through President Lincoln about the necessity of having moral, upright, righteous, godly leaders in elected positions. And the consequences that we're going to be faced with if we ever compromise on that standard. But we have. We have so-called godly men compromising on those standards. And we're going to pay the price as a nation. So thanks, bootlickers. Thanks a lot, bootlickers, for taking us, the rest of us, down. I'm serious. I feel like Daniel. You're trying to do your level best to be a righteous person and worship God in an honoring way, but the rest of the country says, nah, we want to do it our own way. So what's going to happen? The Babylonian Syrians are going to come kicking our doors in. They're going to own us. And now me and my family have to pay the consequences because the rest of this country wants to reject God. Thanks a lot, bootlickers. Punks. You call yourselves Christians. You just, oh man, I'm angry. We're going to take a break. I'll be right back.
Really in the name of...
Some of those that work forces are the same that burn crosses. Some of those that work forces are the same that burn crosses.
When a person desires respectability of people more than they stand in awe and fear of God, they sell out.
This is Shan Hemphill with Works LLC. We provide lifetime guaranteed holsters and magazine carriers for the armed citizen. Check us out at WERKZ as in Zulu.com or call 855-WORKS01 for your custom gear needs. Don't forget to use coupon RFR at checkout for 15% off. Thank you and God bless.
Tactical Wood Gas is your off-grid power solution. Tactical Wood Gas manufactures wood gas systems and 12-volt generators, and now you can store the power you produce. They offer affordable and expandable battery banks for power outages, including a ruggedized model for tactical use and field operations. Call them at 1-800-516-4249 or visit them today at www.tacticalwoodgas.com.
We are back with segment 3, and I'm all better now. Deep breath. What's that? Oh, we covered that yesterday. This guy, oh, you guys are just going to have to go and listen to it. I don't want to drag the listeners all back through this again. Is the mystical syllable containing the universe, which some Hindu guys wiggled his way into asking if he can open the Idaho Senate for business on Tuesday morning. Oh, the outrage. I sent emails out to everyone in the Idaho state because I have my email contacts broken down by state. So I sent out that, all the assemblies, and the outrage is just, it's kind of fun. It's just kind of like dropping a grenade and just stepping back and watching it all just wah. And so some senators are hot, and hopefully they're saying this is the first time ever that any other religion has ever opened up prayer besides Christian prayer in the Idaho capital. So if they go through with it, we're hoping that we'll make it. This won't be like the first time. This will be the last time. And in the future, down the road, it will be that one time. You remember that one time when we let a Hindu guy open? Remember what happened? Remember that one time? I'm afraid that getting their foot in the door to allow people to lead our legislators in worshiping a false god even in the American redoubt, they try to infiltrate. Fortunately, there's enough patriots that the pushback is just, it can't be ignored. Anyway, segment three. We're in segment three, right? Yes. Is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate for relocating strategically to the panhandle of Idaho. Contact www.selkirkmountainrealestate.com, especially in Boundary and Bonner counties up north. And also, we got a contest coming up with Partisan Radio coming up a little bit later. We're going to give away a rifle hanger next week, but the contest is this week for those of you who want to participate for hiding a rifle, carbine-sized rifle or shotgun, in plain sight in your closet with loadedpantshanger.com. They've got a really cool thing that we're going to be giving away, and more information on that, but you have to participate to find out how. Good stuff. I'm doing, which Mrs. Schmidt's always on me for. You know, watch your ums. You said like six times this show. So let's take a look here. What do we got? Oh, yes. Last week, in the last couple of weeks, we started talking about this Agenda 21 sneaky backdoor thing that they're doing with these comprehensive disaster mitigation plans within the counties. You know, earthquake, flood, wildfire, whatever it is. Let's assess your county. Come up with a mitigation plan. And these questions in this questionnaire are very Agenda 21-ish. And you think, well, somebody in our county come up with this little questionnaire. Oh, they probably did their best. You know, they didn't, I mean, there's no guidance. There's no rule book on how to set up a disaster mitigation plan for your county. Or is there? Well, there's not, but there are consultants that come in and help you with this process. Just like the comprehensive land use codes that all the states are all of a sudden mandating in their legislature, you must have a comprehensive land use code for your county. And all the county commissioners go, all right, what do we do? And then they say, oh, we're so glad you asked. We actually have a consultant here that's specially trained for such a thing to advise you, hold your hand, and help you. Well, the pushback, the exposure was so strong that these municipalities are now dumping these ICLEA standards, these land use codes, and they're scrapping them after spending $200,000-$300,000 on these consulting firms to come in. And it really is all tied to Agenda 21. They've exposed this through the John Birch Society, through there's a ton of grassroots organizations that expose this. And it took a while. It took some effort. But finally, these like county commissioners are finally saying, hey, yeah, this doesn't sound very American-ish stuff. Like, we want to follow. So you're out of here. We'll make up our own. Victory. Well, they're back. A disaster mitigation plan with a survey to go out because they're required to solicit public feedback. But try to find somebody in your public that has seen one of these surveys. Only a few people have. It's usually circulated within the county government and maybe their friends and family. Your Bible study group. Hey, I'm going to email this thing to you guys because we've got to have public feedback. Okay, so there's like 100 people in the whole county that's actually seen the surveys that they're required to, you know, solicit public feedback. I got a listener letter after I read part of the survey last week. He said, I was listening to your podcast last week or this morning when you read something that stopped me in my tracks. The EMA survey the listener in Kootenai County, Idaho sent in started sounding familiar to me, especially when it got to some of those more disturbing questions about regulating land use to mitigate disasters. Suddenly it hit me. I took this exact same survey, word for word, this past fall in DeKalb County, Alabama. our local EMA, Emergency Management Agency, held a disaster preparedness fair. Everyone was there from the fire department, law enforcement, Red Cross, companies selling storm shelters, etc. The local ham radio club and prepper group even had booths set up. And when I walked in, I was asked if I wanted this free bag to put all my freebies and brochures in. And when I said sure, I was told all I had to do was sit down and take a few minutes to complete this survey. Again, it was verbatim what I read on the air, he's saying. I assumed it was just something the local EMA had created for some feedback, but some of those questions did strike me as strange at the time. Now, for the worst part, my cousin is the county EMA director, so my question is, do these local EMA guys know they're dancing with the devil, or are they having the wool pulled over their eyes? You can bet I'm going to have questions for him. Good. I would like to hear some of his responses. And I am going to be asking some more questions of some of these folks that are actually on this board. So we need to learn more. But who are these people that are putting this together? Who's asking us, would you agree with stronger regulation if it meant, you know, for land use for people living in high-risk areas? Of course, what's a high-risk area? Fires is one of the categories, which there's forest fires everywhere. Anybody could say, yeah, I could have a forest fire, could affect my property. Well, you're living in a high-risk zone. So we need some more strict regulations. And in fact, this property over here that's not even developed yet, and it's, you know, 1,600 acres, didn't have a house on it, and we're going to have to declare that a high-risk area and forbid any building permits within that area. This is what's coming. So let's look at this consulting firm that's going to help everybody fill all this stuff out. Tetra Tech. Tetra Tech is contracted to help with the multi-jurisdictional all-hazard mitigation plan and build the ground rules. The ground rules are right here. I think I got them posted for last week's highlights and resources posting. According to these rules, they state that Tetra Tech will be used via contract as a consultant. But if you look at the members, it tells a different story. The staffing, they have a voting committee, steering committee, all with voting powers. And who's sitting on this? None other than Laura Johnston, a consultant from Tetra Tech. So she's a consultant sitting on the steering committee with voting powers on developing policy within the county. Tetra Tech is a primary on the committee. Why is a consultant on the committee with voting powers? Didn't that seem like a conflict of interest to you? Who appointed these people? Who approved the funding? This all just comes out of nowhere. It's like nobody even knows. It just, whoosh, it just happens. And everybody says, what was that? And it's over with. But they throw out this survey because they're required to solicit public feedback. But nobody in the public has ever heard of it. Here's a list of the board members and their affiliations and at least 25 of their companies. And guess what? They've got jobs listed at unjobs.com. 13,000 employees. 330 offices around the world. They own 25 other companies. Their international security and intelligence consulting firm. They bought ProIntelligent, which is an international security and intelligence consulting firm used by the State Department. They got their hands in everything. The most troubling aspect about Tetra Tech preparing the plans for the BLM can be seen by looking at Tetra Tech's board of directors. So, who's on the board of directors for Tetra Tech? Hugh Grant, the chairman and president and CEO. He's the chairman of Tetra Tech. He's the president and CEO of Monsanto. Sound familiar? Kenneth Johnson, a director of Alaska Air Group, which owns Coeur d'Alene Mines Corporation. Mines, like silver mines, metal mines, like mining for things, mines. And they're the ones that are developing policy for the BLM. He's president of Pacific Star Energy LLC and managing director of Alaska Venture Capital Group, which is a private oil and gas exploration firm. Also an ARCO BP executive. And these guys are on the board of directors on this consulting firm, Tetra Tech, to guide policy for the Bureau of Land Management. You think there's an agenda there? They want to control the land. Tetra Tech's been contracted by the BLM to help BLM Winnemucca, Nevada office. And didn't we have a problem with BLM, the Bundy Ranch, trying to force ranchers off their lands? They're also interested because with the Winnemucca BLM district is the Rochester Mine, owned by Coeur d'Alene Mines, which Tetra Tech board member Kenneth Johnson may have an interest in, since he's on the board of directors of the company that owns Coeur d'Alene Mines. In Tetra Tech's SEC filings, it states that in regard to revenues, it received 21.9% from Department of Defense agencies, 11.3% from USAID, and 11.8% from other U.S. federal government agencies. The international business grew 195% on the third quarter of fiscal 2011. This is a big, powerful company. They are not coming to help you put together a little disaster plan. And with all the jobs they have over at UN Jobs, this has got Agenda 21 all over it. This is scary stuff. All right, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about Katie. We're going to talk about Katie Armour because they're sponsoring the next segment, in fact. And also, I want to tell you guys about AMP 3 Medical. They've got an event that they're going to be at March 14th, in Saturday, March 14th, in Prather, California, at GI Jim's Survival and Preparedness Symposium. For all you guys in the area, we've got a lot of listeners in California. If you're in that area within driving distance, stop by and see Dave and Beth. Check out his suturing class and say hi to the folks from AMP3 there. That's March 14th. And check them out by clicking on the banner over on the right-hand side, AMP3 Medical Preparedness and Specialty Gear for the Prepared Citizen. All right, we'll be back with the last and fourth segment on Radio Free Redoubt. Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Then let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
Hi, I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, North Idaho. For years, we've specialized in locating and securing the best survivalist retreats in the most sustainable area America has to offer. The clean and abundant fresh water found in North Idaho's springs, creeks, lakes, and rivers are the primary reason folks come here, as nothing is more important than water. Excellent seasons, rich soils, and clean Rocky Mountain air make for an ideal growing environment with no threat of tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, or forest fires. The best part of North Idaho is her people, friendly conservatives with beliefs deeply rooted in the Constitution and a sense of community. I want to invite you and your family to join us here, to secure a peaceful future in a place that will sidestep much of the chaos that we all know is coming. Call me today at 208-667-1776 or visit me online at revrealty.us. That's www.revrealty.us. revrealty.us. And may God bless you.
Segment four on Radio Free Redoubt. Thank you for being with us. God bless all of you guys, Christian patriots. Thank you for being awake and aware. Hopefully we're encouraging, inspiring, educating, motivating to action those of you who are care and that are paying attention to what's going on in the world. Always appreciate your feedback, your prayers, and your support. We appreciate your financial support more than I can say. We're just growing. We're growing, and so do the bills. And it's like, oh my goodness, what do we do? Would you just stop growing? I don't know. But you guys have been so gracious. God's just really blessed us, and you guys have been so gracious with, you know, $10, $25, $30 a month or $40 a month, and all those add up, and we're able to actually cover our costs. And I'm like, I don't know how. I don't see where it's coming from. You know, it's not like you have a – I don't know. It's just always appears. And so I'm grateful. I'm just very thankful. But we really need your prayers. We need protection, wisdom, courage to stand. And also your ideas and suggestions at johnjacob@radiofreereadout.com. You can email me. I'm pretty much staying on top of the emails for the most part now. And of course, if you're listening on the go, some audio file you downloaded, or you're listening streaming on another network or website, which there seems to be more and more of, you visit us at radiofreereadout.com to learn more about what we stand for. This segment is brought to you by Katie Armor. And when you, that's your body armor, level 3 AR-500 body armor, front plates, back plates, side plates, armor carriers, mag pouches, all of that. And Patreon owned, great folks. And don't forget to use coupon code JohnJacob and get a discount. I don't want you to forget that. They've got that, they want to say thank you, you know, for being a Radio Free Readout listener, for being a patriot. And, so they've made that available for you. Use John Jacob discount code. Now, as you know, our agencies in the federal government are being indoctrinated. DHS is saying that right-wing extremists is the greater threat than ISIS, even though Islamic extremists have killed 2,000% more people, more Americans in America than right wingers. Not to mention the 60,000 deaths from cartels in Mexico, 167 American deaths, and the cartels have begun targeting law enforcement now, specifically putting a price on the heads of American law enforcement in our southern states. But it's the right wing that's the biggest threat. This last week, yesterday, I interviewed Anthony Bosworth. He's a patriot. He's an activist. He is with Liberty for All. And they go to every rally supporting the 10th Amendment, which is what they were doing last Wednesday. I think that was Wednesday, this week. The 10th Amendment Center was doing a rally, which is, you know, states' rights centered organization. They do great work. Anthony Bosworth and the folks from Liberty for All decided to show up and help support them. They go to all of these events carrying arms openly. Nothing new. He had a AK-47 slung on his back. Standing there smoking a cigarette, drinking a cup of coffee, talking to the organizers when Department of Homeland Security come up and said, hey, you can't have a gun here. There's signs all over the building. Another officer comes out and quoted him. According to U.S. Code 18, Title 18, Section 903, you're in violation. Which clearly says you cannot have a firearm inside of a federal facility, which Bosworth informed them of. And there are signs on the building, but there's no signs around. And he's asking, you where's public property versus, you know, in Washington, you can carry openly. And anyway, one thing led to another. I already interviewed him yesterday. We already covered this. They arrested him. He was completely legal, as it turns out, and he's going to win this case. He was exercising his right. But when I was interviewing him yesterday, I was talking about he was telling me about his rough treatment. Once he got inside, out of the view of the others, you know, the other demonstrators, they started treating him increasingly rough. They put him facing the wall, like waiting for an elevator, and then they shove him against the wall forcefully and pin him there. like he's some kind of big threat. He was completely docile and cooperative with him. But the treatment got rougher and rougher the further into the system that they got him, you know, upstairs and into the facility. He asked for an attorney. He was told that's Hollywood stuff. We don't have to let you have access to legal counsel. This is a federal facility, or this is federal jurisdiction, or something to that effect. Now, I'm going to be doing a follow-up interview with him off the record, because I'm going to be taking some notes, because there's some things that I want to share with the other patriots that could be faced with this in the future. Historically, we've seen how tyranny increases. We all are aware that we're on that track. And we also see housewives, homeschoolers, people that vote for, you know, third-party candidates are all being identified as potential homeland domestic terror threats. Harry Reid has called patriots. Those people who call themselves patriots, they're not. They're actually homeland domestic terror threats. His own words. So we have to think about the future. What's going to happen? We're going to see more and more. I mean, because it's easy to say, look, I'm not worried about this. I'm not going to carry my gun out in the open. All right. I'm not going to try to cause. That's just inviting problems. But see, there's coming a time when you won't have to do anything to bring attention to yourself. Just simply because you did something that raised some suspicion, or somebody said, yeah, so-and-so has talked about guns before. He might have some guns or whatever. That's a whole nother topic. The bottom line is any one of us could be faced with this. And so since I have a strong background in this area, I want to share some things with you guys. Because the FBI came in after hours. He was detained for 5 hours. The sheriff stepped in and said, let him go. You're out of line. He has not broken the law. Let him go. So they did. They cited him with failure to comply. If you can believe that. Not for having firearms on federal property. Anyway, I want to get to the point that I really want to talk about here. Okay, when he was interrogated by the FBI, there's several things going on here. They asked him some questions, you know, like, you know, when are you going to begin carrying out violence? That's provocative, you know, but what it is they're testing the response. Okay, because they're analyzing you. They're preparing you to exploit you. Now, I'm sure, you know, he probably wanted to say, well, you know, DHS is buying M4s and 2 billion rounds of ammunition, almost 3,000 MRAPs, and indoctrinating their agents that anyone who espouses the Constitution or holds to other conservative pro-American values are potential domestic homeland terror threats. They're filling up warehouses with freeze-dried food. So my question is, when are you going to begin carrying out violence? But you don't want to say that. You don't want to engage these guys at all. He already set the tone right at the beginning. I want to see a lawyer. All right. And I'm going to come back to that in just a minute. You need to seek assistance from the outside. In this case, you need to ask for a lawyer, because you are innocent until proven guilty. And you are innocent anyway, because it's perfectly legal to stand in the open with the open firearm according to Washington state law. And it is illegal to be inside the federal facility according to that code. And he was not inside the facility. He's outside. He's in the state of Washington. He's doing something perfectly legal. But they start probing with these questions. When are you going to start carrying out violence? Whatever. You know. Guys, those guys are not patriots. There are patriots in the FBI. All right. And guys, don't ask those kind of questions. Come on, agents. But I know they're not really. Look, in this line of questioning, okay, these guys, they're all trained in interrogations, but some to varying degrees. And also, some people have an inherent knack. I mean, they just have a knack for it. There's people that are highly trained in interrogations that they just suck at it. They're horrible interrogators, all right, even though they've been through the training. There's some people that have the knack for it, All right. Now, this right here, when are you going to begin carrying out violence? That's not really, that's intended to invoke a response. They don't really literally expect an answer. Oh, well, April 19th, of course. You know, I mean, they're not, they don't expect that. They're gauging at this point. This is called the assessment phase. They've been assessing him since he's been in captivity or since he's been detained. So they're assessing you the whole time. That's why you lay there for 3 hours because you feel like nothing's happening. Okay. There's several things that are going on here because they're keeping you for 5 hours, right? they're prepping you. So let's talk about this because we're going to talk about more of this stuff in the future. This is what you can expect. Let me talk about his situation first. What they did is they used what's called a friendly approach. All right. This is kind of to build, you know, camaraderie. There's different names for it. Okay. They asked him about his leadership. Tell us, you know, about the leadership of your group. Who all is involved? He's talking about liberty for all. Now, Anthony said, well, there's no leadership. I'm not a leader. I'm not a leader of anything. I'm not trying to be a leader of anything. I just want to stand for our rights. Okay. So, but at this point, you already said, I want a lawyer. That's the only thing you should be saying at this point. Look, I haven't done anything wrong. I didn't break the law. I told you I want a lawyer. That is all should be coming out of your mouth. That's the only thing you should be saying over and over. I haven't broken the law. I didn't do anything illegal and I want my lawyer now. Okay. No problem. We'll work on that. While we're waiting for him, you know, do you always carry guns at your events? Look, I already told you. I haven't broken the law, right? I haven't done anything wrong, and I want to see my lawyer. You're going to feel like a broken record to yourself. You know what? So what? It doesn't matter. You stick to that like glue, and you don't step off of it. You don't engage. Because they're trying to get you involved in a conversation, talking about things you're comfortable. How many kids you got? Your kids okay? You want us to check on your kids? I don't want to talk about my kids. The only thing I want to talk about is that I haven't done anything wrong. I didn't break the law, and I want to see my lawyer. Do not engage. Okay, these are professional exploiters. They're only there for one thing, to gather everything they can to help prosecute you. All right. They're going to begin probing. They're probing about, well, tell us about the leadership and what are you guys trying to accomplish and all this kind of stuff. Now, fortunately, Anthony is a smart guy and he's a patriot. He also sanitized himself. He had no cell phone on him because that's definitely what they want their hands on. If you're going to go to an event, leave your cell phone, leave that kind of stuff, even off location or even just in your car. So if you go to the event, you know, you're 200 yards from your car. You know, if you get detained for some reason, you don't have anything that's got all of your contacts, email contacts and everything else on your person. So sanitize yourself. No address books, no phones. If anything, have a burner phone with you. You know, a throwaway disposable phone that you buy minutes for so you can contact your buddies and stuff. But leave your main phone with all your contacts, your emails and texts and everything. Leave that sanitized, okay? Don't have it on you. All right. Now, in this situation, they kept his firearms too, believe it or not. They said because charges may be filed in the future and these guns may be used as evidence. What? Well, they cited him for failure to comply when they said, oh, you need to leave, when he was talking to another officer. Anyway, you can go back and listen to that. So the guns had nothing to do with the citation for failure to comply, but they kept him anyway. They seized his property without due process. We're going to do additional training to help the Patriots deal with these kind of situations because more of you and more of you are going to be getting detained for being at the wrong place at the wrong time. Okay. Now, in this case, they used what's called a friendly approach. After they initially detain you, the first thing they're going to do is demonstrate control. In this case, they start with handcuffs. All right, that places physical and emotional control. It demonstrates physical and emotional control over you. Okay, then they're going to instill in you that they control everything. He said there was like 3 hours, 4 hours before he even had toilet paper in this little room. He kept asking for it. All right, and that's fine. You can ask for stuff like that. All right. But it took them 3 to 4 hours. The reason why it took them 3 to 4 hours to get them a roll of toilet paper is because they are demonstrating control over him. All right. This is part of the process. All right. But they are leaving you alone. And it's not just because they forgot about you. It's because they are assessing you. And the longer they leave you alone, the more control they are reinforcing. And also, they're creating in you, the human factor, a longing for human interaction. So when they come in, they used, and this is what I would have used, the friendly approach. Okay. Fear down approach. Hey, bud, how you doing, man? I just want to, are you okay? Or, you know, anything I can get for you? I mean, I'm sorry this happened. You know, tell me what happened. You know, how can I help you out? Right. This is the friend. This is BS. Right. This is all an act. All interrogations, 99.9% of interrogations, the line of questioning, everything is an act. It's a ruse. Okay. So, remember where you are, remember who they are, and remember who you are and what they're trying to do. So look, hey, I'm doing okay, except actually I'm not doing okay because I'm in here and I didn't break any laws. I haven't done anything wrong and you're holding me. So how do you think I'm doing? I haven't been able to see my lawyer either. That's all that's coming out of your mouth. All right. Now let's go over some of these approaches that they're going to try to use on you. And we've got to try to wrap up because more is coming. We're going to go more into depth. This is what you can experience. There's a fear up approach. These are the most common approaches that you can expect to be confronted with. Okay. Fear up is basically to build fear and despair into you. All right. Now that's not, that's the least likely of these to use. This would probably be if somebody uses a fear up, look, buddy, you're going to jail for a long time. Okay. That's usually going to come from an inexperienced exploiter, maybe the one that's seen too many interrogations on TV or something like that, especially dealing with patriots, male patriots especially, because male patriots typically have an ego, okay? So they're going to try to appeal to that as soon as they come in, swinging, you know, verbally. You're going to throw up a wall. They're not going to get anything out of you that way except obstinance, okay? Unless maybe they're trying to provoke you. So you have to really control your emotional reactions. All right. The next one is fear down. Okay. Or your friendly or your advocate approach. Dude, I'm your advocate. I'm here for you, man. You're in this horrible situation. I want to see what I can do to help you. Tell me what led up to this. Well, hold on. You're not my legal counsel, pal. You're the one that's here trying to get information to put me under. Okay, don't fall for it. This is called a fear down approach, or also combined with a friendly or advocate. He's your advocate, right? Stick to, look, I haven't done any, be polite and be professional, but be assertive that you have broken no laws and you haven't done anything wrong and that you want to see your lawyer. All right. Now, the one that you might typically see used with patriots, male patriots, would be your ego up. Okay. To get you to talk. Look, I can see you obviously have a lot of charisma. You've got people that follow you naturally. I can see that. I mean, I think you really believe in what you're doing, man. And you love the Constitution, and who doesn't? I mean, you're the man, right? And all of a sudden your head starts to swell. You know, I could see how people would follow you. You know, you're not going to lead. You could mislead people. You know that, right? And I just want to make sure that's not what you're doing. No, I'm not. I'm a good leader. I look out for my people. Well, how do you look out for your people? Well, you know, I check on them and I call them, I email them and I let them know. Well, you know, so how many people do you think you influence? Well, hundreds. Oh, really? Okay, so you're getting sucked in, all right, because you're foolish, because you don't understand what you're doing, because you're flapping your lips, right? The ego up approach is beautiful, especially with people with big egos. The other one is the ego down approach, all right? Look, you come in here like a big shot, carrying your gun, think other people are going to follow you. Nobody's going to follow you. And then, of course, your response is, yes, they do. I got lots of people to follow me. There's people, all right? So you just fell for it again. That's the ego down approach. It's to make you defensive and actually try to provide evidence of why you have an ego because you are really all that. And you're going to prove it by giving him all the information so he understands who he's messing with, that you are really somebody. So you're going to really build your case up about why you're somebody. And then you're going to step in it in the process because you don't realize that this is not your backyard. This is his. He's an exploiter. You're at a disadvantage because you're playing in his game. All right. And you're at a disadvantage because you don't understand his agenda and his line of questioning and where he's going. You're completely at a disadvantage. So you go on the offensive by stating that you haven't broken the law, you haven't done anything wrong, and you want your lawyer right now. Okay. Some of the other approaches, we'll talk more about some of this stuff later. Love of country. Oh man, you're a patriot. Obviously you're a patriot, you know, and, that must make you proud, you know, to be protecting the Constitution. You want to do something good for your country, right? Okay. So that'd be another approach that they might do. I could totally go down that line. Love of family is another really big one, especially with patriots, because we're sentimental and we're doing this for our families and for our children and our future generations, right? They understand this and they're going to play on that, especially women, wives, mothers, be prepared. This will be probably the most used number one approach that's going to be used on you. Love of family. Okay. Now, typically with women, especially a mother, they will combine love of family with the fear up approach. And this is basically how it's going to play out. Look, you helped your husband break the law. You sat there filming him, encouraging him. You even took his cell phone so we couldn't get our hands on it. So obviously you're trying to hide something, which makes you an accomplice. So guess what? See those two children of yours? Chances are you're probably not going to see them again, and they're going to be put into foster care because you are a dirty, rotten woman who'd place your children in this kind of a situation. And, there's not much I can do for you, really, unless you cooperate. Now you do love your children, don't you? And about 9 out of 10 women will start blubbering and bawling. They're going to fall for it because this whole thing is a ruse. Now, in this day and age of tyranny, they really can take your children. And they are probably going to begin taking more American Christian children. So, you know, we are in 1775. We hope to avert the need for having to defend our country forcibly. We'll do everything we can to avoid it. All right, but you need to understand some of the techniques that they're going to be using against you. You need to reinforce over and over that you have done nothing illegal, you haven't broken the law, and that you want to see your attorney right now. More to follow. You guys have a blessed week. All right. Keep your eyes peeled. Keep your eyes open. Stay vigilant. Stay in the word. Stay informed and inform others who will listen. This is John Jacob Schmidt. Good night.